complete cop out. It is probably the worst plan that can conjured up in the 2 years of the ongoing genocide, and the people of Gaza will not be better off. In fact, they'll be light years worse off than they were in the 2 years of the genocide. It asks for within 72 hours for the return of all hostages, Hamas's biggest bargaining chip, while at the same time not setting a timeline for Israel's withdrawal. And Netanyahu just said yesterday that Israel will not withdraw from the whole of Gaza Strip, but rather still hold on to the majority of the Gaza Strip. So this is a form of Balfour 2.0. You know, if you look at it from Balfour to Blair, as someone spoke to me about, you know, it does not give Palestinians the right to self-determination. So this is, in my opinion, a complete cop-out. There is no timeline. The only positive, if you can put it that way, and here I'm scratching, you know, really deep to find a positive, is that, you know, it says that no Palestinians will not be, you know, ethnically cleansed from Gaza. So that is probably the only positive, and those who have left will be allowed to return, and those who want to leave and return will be allowed to. So those are the only positives. But in terms of, you know, the negative, it is a complete cop out. It's a colonial trap. It lays the foundation for an eternal occupation of Gaza and historic Palestine. It tries to achieve through political and diplomatic means what the Zionist entity could not achieve through military means in almost 2 years of genocide. So it is nothing to be excited about. We should brace ourselves for the further entrenchment of the genocide in a more brutal phase, because Hamas is going to reject it.
On that point as well, you mentioned the term eternal occupation, and I was speaking to the listener, and I was saying that in many ways it feels as if though this is a two-pronged approach. On the one end, it seems as if though it gives almost a alleyway for you, the US and Israel, to continue what it's been doing by creating such a lopsided agreement that they know will get rejected by Hamas, because at the end of the day, it calls for the dismantle of Hamas. It calls for the dismantle of Palestinian resistance in Gaza. And the other avenue, if it is accepted, it almost seems as if though the as you mentioned, there is no timeline. And then you have the other issue in regards to who actually represents the Palestinians in this new overarching body that they are proposing. Because it almost seems as if though this entire agreement works towards disregarding the sovereignty and autonomy of Palestinian people, or the concept of Palestinian statehood, because at every point Netanyahu has stated that they will not agree to Palestinian statehood, regardless of the pressure that is coming from all across the world. So I'm starting to wonder what exactly this puts for Gaza into the future.
It puts nothing for Gaza, to be honest. There is nothing in here for, as you rightly said, for Palestinian statehood, even by the warped definition of what was recently recognized by much of the European world. Now, 157 members of the UN recognize the so-called Bantustan of Palestine, as I like to call it. It is nothing but a continued occupation. You know, it's ironic that Blair is the so-called, he's going to be the overseer of this of Gaza during this stage, the Gaza International Transition Authority, as it is called, because, you know, 108 years ago it was Balfour who gave Palestine to the Zionist entity. So Palestine will be worse off, as if not to say that they're not worse off right now, and it's not to, you know, put the suffering of to belittle the suffering of the Palestinian people all across historic Palestine, especially in Gaza. We're not trying to do that. But even Hamas is not authorized to make such a concession on the land of Palestine. Fatah is not recognized. You know, is Palestinian Islamic Jihad or any sort of faction does not have the authority to Palestine, to the Zionist entity. Hamas cannot do this, even if it wanted to, because it does not have a mandate from the Palestinian people. The Palestinian right to self-determination is inalienable. It transcends any sort of United Nations declaration, any sort of Trump plan. This is not a peace plan. This is a plan for the continued occupation. It's a plan for surrender of the Palestinian Palestinian rights, eternally for the Palestinian rights. You know, with the fact that much of the Arab and Muslim world has accepted this shouldn't come as a surprise. Every single 57 members of the Organization of Islamic Conference, be it Arab or non-Arab, are loyal poodles of American imperialism and the Zionist entity. You know, unlike the Islamic Republic of Iran, which retaliated against Zionist aggression and American aggression, Qatar couldn't even fire a single small missile or gunshot in the direction of the Zionist entity. This is how weak the Ummah is. And that, so, you know, the fact that people hand over and, you know, enthusiastically, you know, want to clap hands with Trump about this is more an indication of their weakness, that they are more interested in, protecting their fragile thrones and grips on power than it is about ensuring that there is a just solution for Palestine, and even in interim to ensure that the genocide ends. Mm. They cannot even do that. They will enthusiastically, give a handshake to Israel and the United States to say that for a job well done, instead of coming out and ensure in opposition to this. So that shouldn't, on the one hand, that shouldn't surprise us, but on the other hand, we should know that this plan is a complete
On that
part, yeah, is that of armed resistance.
Yeah. On that note, Professor, the one thing that came to me immediately when I read the article on this issue was fear for the Palestinians, primarily because the entire time I was reading the tenets, it almost always seemed to me that every single point was so ridiculously orchestrated just so that they could say no. And I'm trying to understand exactly what future that paints for Gaza in the reality that Hamas says no. And you've already rightly stated, the requests from the from Netanyahu and Trump are aspects of Palestinian resilience that cannot be dictated by Hamas. And there are aspects to it as well that, quite frankly, just seem as if though they have been orchestrated just so that they can get a lot of the pushback against him. And I'm trying to understand what exactly is applaudable about this. Because one of the tenets that Netanyahu stated when discussing the future of the Palestinian Authority in terms of how they have to change, one of the changes he mentioned there was withdrawal of media incitement, which of course in many ways just means talking to the media and fight and advocating for Palestinian resistance. On the other end as well, he mentioned the reality of the ICC and ICJ cases. It almost seems as if though Trump and Netanyahu have orchestrated this plan to basically advocate, or rather abscond, all of the blame that they have had on the international stage through this agreement. In many ways, it seems as if though they are trying to force Hamas to basically just agree with everything that they have been doing, and in every sense, stop fighting for Palestinian resistance. And I don't think that is something that Hamas will let go of.
Yeah, no, of course, this is the epitome of the colonial logic of thinking that you can dictate to the oppressed how to end a genocide which you are committing. It's an epitome of that colonial logic, whilst at the same time not promising to end that genocide, and not promising to end the occupation, not promising to give the right to self-determination. So Trump wants to be, you know, it's called this peace plan, but as I said, it's an internal occupation plan. It has no fundamental changes that would give Palestinians a glimmer of hope for the future. It will not do that. It does not do that. All it does is to make vague promises that more Palestinians won't die, and we know. Once Hamas releases the 48 hostages, both living and dead, it's the end of the game. What leverage does the Palestinians have against Israel to ensure that the genocide does not continue? The so-called, you know, Trump guarantees and Blair guarantees and so on mean nothing to the Israelis. After 2 years, they managed to evade international law, evade any reckoning with American protection. It is not going to change now. You know, ironically, it was called a 21-point plan before, and the plan that was removed was that Israel will not attack any American ally, especially referring to Qatar, in that plan for Gaza. So it's a woeful attempt, you know, to really cover up Israeli crimes. It's a woeful attempt to protect Israeli Zionism, to save Israeli Zionism from itself. But at the same time, it's also facing internal pressure. Even this plan is being rejected, believe it or not, by the likes of Ben-Gavir and Smotrich. Hmm. They've said they did not even allow any sort of international body to oversee Gaza. They want Palestinians ethnically cleansed. Even Ben-Gavir and Smotrich. So it's already facing internal opposition within the Zionist entity, which is obviously problematic for Netanyahu to begin, which is why he now backtracked and said that, you know, Israel will hold on to most of Gaza. So, you know, one, instead of, we need to separate ourselves from the euphoria that is there in the Western media to position this as a savior of the Palestinian people. It is nothing more than entrenchment of genocide, entrenchment of occupation, and an entrenchment and the furtherance of the plan of ethnic cleansing of Palestinians via other means. Because we know that there's nothing left of in Gaza. Gaza is not fit for human inhabitation, and people will one way or another be forced to leave Gaza, which is obviously what Netanyahu planned. So it's a continuation of the genocide and ethnic cleansing by other means, and there is no hope for the Palestinians if this plan is accepted.
Professor, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. I ever want to say shukran to you for coming onto our airwaves and having this important conversation with us.
Shukran for having me. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.